Detroit Lions.
You're listening to the best of the Lions.
Oh, baby, how beautiful is that?
A weekly mix of 97.1, the Ticket's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Blockbuster move in the NFL, Micah Parsons. Coming to the NFC North, he'll be a Green Bay Packer. Two firsts and Kenny Clark gets it done. We want to know your reaction to the deal. Packers listed as the betting favorite in the NFC North. Do you agree with that? How do you feel about Brad Holmes today? 248-539-9797. John, let's get into it.
I'm disappointed that, not necessarily that he's not with the Lions. Obviously, if you could do this deal and be able to sign him and Aiden Hutchinson and Goff and Jameer Gibbs, like go down the list, right? You want it to happen for your team. I understand why it didn't. I'm just disappointed that he was traded in division. And it's in division right now where we have an extra roster spot that we're not using to make that position. You're not going to go out and get Micah Parsons. You're not going to go out and get Max Crosby or Miles Garrett or Hendrickson from Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. But there are options out there to make yourself better. I think that's it's a compounding factor where you have a weakness, or at least a perceived weakness, and you're not doing anything to make it better, and you got a spot for it. And then somebody else goes out there and does what you always wanted them to do.
It's a shot across the bow of Brad Holmes, who said, do they talk about this in other markets? Yes. And they actually act on it. In Green Bay, Wisconsin, they're going to have bookend pass rushers. Rashawn Gary, more than a year removed from the ACL injury, is going to look really good opposite Micah Parsons, who becomes Reggie White 2.0, a future Hall of Famer game wrecker that you're going to face twice a year. We were told, why would you need two edges?
He's not Reggie White. He's going to be a game wrecker, but he's not Reggie White.
Okay. John, he's future
he's
Hall
really
of Famer.
Good.
He's very good.
Yeah, first ballot.
Arguably the best defensive player in the NFL. He's the betting favorite to win Defensive Player of the Year. For our Aiden, they got their Aiden now in Micah Parsons. It's a big deal, and it's game on. I'm not conceding the division here on August 29th. I still would pick the Lions to win this division. Call me a homer. But I'm looking at Green Bay, and I'm looking at them eye level now. They're no longer in the rearview mirror. They were bold. They were aggressive. And look, don't back down from the fight. Bring it on. But John, this is the move we wanted Detroit to make. And Detroit could have made this deal. It would have come at a cost. It would have meant in 2027, you can't keep everybody. But it kind of irks me that that's the bigger priority than winning the effing Super Bowl. Green Bay is all in and Detroit isn't. It may blow up in their face, but it won't be for a lack of trying. And if Detroit doesn't win a Super Bowl, what are we just trying to win 12 games every year and be in the mix? At what point will they push their chips in? Because if you don't, every year somebody else will. Someone will be more desperate than you. And you don't want to have a run kind of like we had with the Tigers a decade ago, where you have all the stars, you have all the Hall of Famers, you have arguably the best roster, and you have no titles to show for it.
So I know that Brad Holmes came out and said yesterday that they're not discussing things with Za'Darius Smith. I think as soon as that news breaks, I would think he'd pick up the phone, because if you could have a comparable situation, you're not going to be on the same level. And you could, I'm not going to sit there and argue Aiden Hutchinson versus Micah Parsons. Pros and cons, right?
Sure.
But you would have two guys that are the favorites to win Defensive Player of the Year.
On the same defense?
No. I'm not talking about same defense. I'm just talking about comparing Green Bay's defense with the defense that Detroit has. So that's a wash. Rashawn Gary, and if you make the call to Za'Darius Smith, Rashawn Gary is, at this point, better than Za'Darius. But you would at least be somewhat comparable. And then you start thinking about, okay, how can your defense be better than Green Bay's defense? Now, defenses aren't going to play against each other, but you would have a weakness for Green Bay in the secondary.
Yes.
And I'm viewing the secondary for Detroit, as it's constructed right now and healthy, would be an advantage.
Detroit's secondary is better. They have Xavier McKinney.
Yes.
We have two Xavier McKinneys. We have
so
two very good safeties.
So if you're a little bit less up front, but you're greater on the back end,
call it a push.
And so defenses.
And I may prefer a front, but let's just call it a push.
From the back end.
Yes, a push from the back end, John.
All right. So that's where I think Brad Holmes has to make a decision, has to go out there and do something, because you are competing in the same division with the Green Bay Packers. Not breaking news.
No. But you had them as maybe the third team in the division.
I did. They're no longer the third team. They're the second team. They're going to get after J.J. McCarthy.
And they're going to get after Jared Goff.
Yes, they are.
248-539-9797. You're right. It's everything at once. It's the comments from Holmes earlier in the day, like, we're not even talking to Za'Darius. And then to see Green Bay go, oh, that's cute. We're all in. You know, Rod Wood told the midday show that the Lions are all in. All in means we're going to burn our future to win today. Brad Holmes is not all in.
Well,
that's all in. All in's I'm going to burn my future to win today. I'm going to light draft picks on fire. My cap's going to be a mess in 2 years. I don't care. That's all in.
But I think you can do both. And Za'Darius allows you to do both.
It makes you
better. Don't have to burn the future to sign Za'Darius Smith right now. And I don't know what the holdup is. I don't know Za'Darius. There has been nothing that came out at the end of last year that says he was an issue in the locker room. That he's a diva. And I've heard this where people say, well, he's holding out. He's not in training camp. Dan Campbell doesn't want somebody that doesn't want to be in training camp.
He's on a tropical island.
BS. when they traded for Za'Darius, they needed hit that impact right away. What did they allow him to do? Take a week off.
Yep.
Because he didn't have a bye week.
It's a good memory. Yeah.
So take the week off. Enjoy yourself. Go visit family. Go have a vacation. When you come back, be ready to go. Same thing here. Hey, training camp, you're a vet. You have proven that you know how to get ready for the season.
John, I'm with you, but I think we just have to accept the reality that it might not be Za'Darius, it might be Brad. He said there were no recent or ongoing talks with Za'Darius. That's them saying, we're hitting disconnect on the phone line. It's not in our plans. Doesn't mean it couldn't happen, but he's not actively trying to make that deal happen right now. 248-539-9797. Dallas is on fire today. They're livid. Green Bay is celebrating today.
If you know a Dallas fan, whether they live locally here, because there are those outliers.
They live among us.
Or if you have friends in the Dallas area, you might want to call somebody to do a well check. If they're a fan of Dallas sports, call in and just check in on them. You can give them a hard time later, because they have just lost one of the top under 25 in Luka Doncic to the Lakers. And now they have lost Micah Parsons, a first ballot Hall of Famer. And we're only talking 4 years into a career here. That, like, just out of love and respect, well check.
Oh, no, you give them a hard time. You make fun of them.
Give them a hard time.
That's what sports
are. Give them a little well check. Just find out if they're okay and then bury them.
Okay, mental health is important. I'm not going to make fun of that. My favorite reaction to the Cowboy stuff was the tweet, heartbreaking, and it's a black and white photo of Jerry Jones, and I'm thinking, oh no. And it says, heartbreaking, Cowboy owner and GM Jerry Jones found alive in his home at 82 years old. Devastating news for Dallas fans. They are livid. Green Bay celebrating. We want to know what Detroit's feeling today. Because, John, you heard a little bit of the live reaction on the station yesterday, and there was a lot of defense mechanisms and coping mechanisms, and it's going to be okay. It's okay to acknowledge Green Bay is looking you in the eyes. That this is going to be a street fight just to win the division. They are now equals in terms of the odds to win the Super Bowl. That's another team in a crowded field that could win the championship this year. So Lions fans, tell us your thoughts on Parsons, on Brad Holmes, on all of it. It's 97.1.
Friday. Come on. Come on, man. Come on.
That's pretty great.
You were in the command center all night?
Yes, I was.
Starting at foot, did you start watching Boise or no?
So I had a long honey-do list, and knowing that she's this time of year, she kind of loses her husband for long periods of time.
Right.
I was working a honey-do list, so I was using the Varsity app to listen to Boise and USF. And it was by the time the second half started, I was down in the command center, had three games on, was disappointed in the rain delay in the Central Florida Jacksonville State game. Watched the Ohio comeback on Rutgers, Watched a playoff team get blown out in the second half as Boise fell apart. And watched Nebraska-Cincinnati before I called it a night. Ready to go, though.
Oh, Minnesota?
I had that game on, but I wasn't really paying attention. It filled the screen at one point, but yeah, it was great. It was fantastic. And indeed, it is a Friday, a football Friday. I'm Doug Garsh. That's Scott Anderson. Were you taking it all in?
I subbed in a golf league last night, so I was playing golf, and by the time I got home, it was almost 8:30.
How'd you do? As a golf league sub, I always feel like there's pressure.
It's nine holes.
Okay. That's half of normal.
Yes. We teed off just as the rain was subsiding. There was some rain that came in the area.
Okay.
So that was fortunate when that happened. And I played all right. I shot 45 for the nine holes.
Okay.
Which is bogey golf.
I take that. I'll take bogey it. Golf is the goal for me.
Yeah. Yeah. But there were some horrible shots. I'm like, what just happened there? But had a birdie. That was good. Had a miracle shot. I was actually, because I had a miracle shot out of the sand from 135 yards out.
Put it
6 feet from the hole. Like, I don't know where that came from, but I'll take it.
I have no idea where that came from.
It's awesome. But yeah, I played all right. And then got home, was able to navigate the the way home for the first time, figuring out how to get onto 75 South from where I was at. Every time I've done this like three or four times, I've always made the wrong decision.
Problems?
Yeah. Yeah. And end up in like downtown Pontiac, which is not where I was supposed to be. So I was able to figure it out for the first time.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
He's learning his way around Metro Detroit, people.
It really meant a lot without having to go to navigation. I'm like, I should know this. Why? I mean, I've lived in this area all my life. I should figure this out by this point. But I was able to figure that out. So got home, picked up some ice cream on the way home, and sat down.
Like you went and got like an ice cream cone, or you went and got a tub. Attaboy.
Yeah.
I got crazy last night. I got some popcorn.
Did you?
Yeah.
Good for you.
Popcorn. I gotta find the brand. It's really good.
Yeah. But I sat down and was watching. I watched Minnesota. And then I was watching Cincinnati, Nebraska. Those are pretty much the two ones I was going back and forth with, and then other stuff too. But yeah, that was, it's great to see football back. And, I don't know. Did you guys know this? We probably should have talked about it, but Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce got engaged.
Hey.
Yeah.
Did I not tell you their first public appearance would be at this game?
Oh, they were at the game?
Yes, they were.
Oh, I missed.
Yes, no, they were.
Yeah. No, it was kind of cool. The entire crowd wearing red, which is understandable. Both teams wear red. And, hey, you're in Kansas City where the Chiefs play. They were red. So it was kind of cool to see the entire crowd wearing red.
Yeah.
And you got a decent game out of it, too.
I mean, it was. It was entertaining. Like, it's football. It's Big Ten. I'm in. I'm used to Nebraska.
How many times this year do you think we're going to see the comparisons of Dylan Raiola to Patrick Mahomes?
Well, let's do one now. Do they look alike? Yes. Got it.
Is it going to be every game that we see this? Because it felt like every game last year we saw it. Now we're starting up this year. I get it. Last night they played in Kansas City, so it makes sense. But
I'm going to go ahead and give the endorsement because I found the brand. All I did is recognize the bag and I grab it. It is the Pop Daddy, made with ruby red kernels and pure olive oil, nothing artificial, popcorn. So I thought it was avocado oil, but I guess it's not. It's pure olive oil. Pop Daddy. Made with, it's a red bag, ruby red.
Switch.
I gotta see if Pop Daddy has one made in avocado oil. It doesn't really matter. It's one of my favorites, and got it last night.
Add salt and butter or no? Nothing.
No, I just read. I actually
pour it comes right out of the bag.
It's in a bag. Sorry, yeah, I don't pop it myself. Yeah. No, it's one of those ones
get preseason.
Yeah, it's on the shelf there at the grocery store. Okay, so look. Apparently, the bourbon was flowing at Valley Ranch. We talked about it yesterday and said we thought that we both said he's going to be back with the Cowboys, and then added the caveat, there's always a chance with Jerry. And because Jerry is who he is, there was always a chance. And the question is, did Green Bay take advantage of him? And did the Lions miss out on an opportunity, of course, because Micah Parsons is going to Green Bay for an all-pro defensive tackle. Is 30 years old, but still productive, and two first-round picks. Green Bay was a problem in the division already. They are a bigger problem now. 24 hours ago, Scott Anderson, you and I did a show where we played some Brad Holmes cuts. We talked about whether or not this Detroit Lions team was a Super Bowl team. Not all of the reaction, but a surprisingly large percentage of the reaction that we got yesterday before the trade was that the Lions were already cooked. They already weren't going to win the Super Bowl. I can't imagine how those people feel now. I think that they think that the run is over. Yeah, because Green Bay made an all-in move. This is a move that many Lions fans want to see the Lions make. Mm-hmm. Go all in, grab an elite player that makes you an overwhelming Super Bowl favorite, to hell with the future. Right? I mean, and Rams F them picks. Rams went, 4 or 5 years without a first-round pick because Les Snead was an F them picks guy. Brad Holmes clearly isn't an F them picks guy.
Not yet.
No, not yet. But the Lions didn't make this deal. What would the equivalent of this deal be? Would it be 2 first-rounders and, Jack Campbell? 2 first-rounders and Brian Branch?
Two first-rounders?
I think if Aleem McNeil wasn't hurt, maybe, but Aleem McNeil's hurt.
But he signed long-term, so.
He is, but I don't think Jerry would have traded. I don't think if he had his choice between a healthy Kenny Clark and an injured Aleem McNeil, I think he's taking a healthy Kenny Clark.
Yeah, no, I hear you there. And I just think this is, it's something that you couldn't compete because the Packers have space. They have space next year, too. It's the year after where they're going to have to pay the Piper, and it's going to be tough for them. So the Lions, I mean, this is what you have to think about. What was the hurt for the Lions if they tried to make a deal like this? Well, first of all, they haven't signed Aiden Hutchinson yet. So everybody that wanted to pair Hutch up with another edge rusher, okay, so you got to pay them both.
You would have had a window. They would have played together for a minute.
Yeah, and that would be awesome. And then you've got sure chaos with your roster after that because you would have two guys who would combine for at least $90 million. Probably closer to $100 million than $90 million.
Two non-quarterbacks.
Yeah, and two non-quarterbacks to do that. So in order to make that work, then you would have to recognize that, okay, after this one year, we're not going to have guys like Jack Campbell or Jamison Williams or Brian Branch.
It would have been
probably
all three of them. It would have been an all-in move, right? Yeah. I mean, and it's just there.
And there's a reason you go all in because you think you have the opportunity and you want to go do it. And it's a ballsy move to do. And like I said, the Packers actually have a couple of years in their window before things change up. In a couple of years, you know, Elgton Jenkins, Lucas Van Ness, Luke Musgrave, Jaden Reed, Tucker Kraft, those guys are all free agents, unrestricted free agents. So it's going to be tough. They're going to have to make tough decisions of who to hang on to and who to let go, like any team would when you make a move like this. But it's calculated for them. Their window is probably a couple of years. If the Lions did something like this, it's probably not a couple years. It's probably just this year. And then it's not that you can't win further on. It's just you can't win with the same group of guys.
No.
That's all I'm saying.
And you got to count on not having first round picks. Yeah. And you have to replenish the roster. But and look, it comes with challenges. Some people would have been in favor of it, though. We already know that. Some people are like, to hell with the future, to hell with signing the guys. I want a Super Bowl now. And that we get that call all the time. We asked on Twitter today, who would you rather be right now? Now and in the future, would you rather be Detroit or Green Bay? Would you rather be Detroit or Green Bay? 248-539-9797. We'll get to your phone calls and feedback coming up. It is Carson Anderson on a Football Friday. Later, we'll get to some college football, previewing Michigan State and Western, Michigan and New Mexico. And are we doing the picks? We haven't decided. We should probably do this off the air and not talk about it. Do you want to do picks?
Yeah, today? I think we did last year. We make picks for the first weekend.
College, the Car House Log of the Week and the Shoot the Boot Log of the Week. All that coming up then at a 1 o'clock hour. Because I got some stuff percolating. I've been searching, researching.
Okay.
Searching and researching. It is Carson Anderson, 97.1.
Wow. All right, stop the presses. That is a major breaking news, and now we have time, and I do apologize to Jeremy, but he was trying to communicate with David, and then as Jeremy's want to do, ask 800 questions.
Wait, Jeremy?
Just say it.
So Andre Carter is now on the Lions practice squad.
Great.
He is. So is
Coach Carter.
But the Who only cares? Way to find out information is to ask questions. Don't you know that?
Not live. You just say, this is what happened. More details in 97.
What if he made it up?
David doesn't do that. He's a man of God. David, please, details of the trade and details of the contract. And all I will say is this. This is the one thing I said summer. You best pray the Packers don't wake the F up and get Hendrickson or Parsons. And here we are.
Can you please just give out the Powerball numbers?
Man,
on fire.
If I could, even though this is a dysfunctional family, I'd make sure all of you never walk in this building again. I promise. Right. David, what are the details?
So Micah Parsons is getting traded to the Green Bay Packers and will receive a four-year, $188 million extension with $136 million guaranteed.
Woo!
So that's $47 million a year.
Woo!
And Aiden Hutchinson says, thank you.
Yeah, I think Aiden might need a wet wipe. His people are going to be asking for 50.
Now, the other side of it, we don't know yet. All Pelissero says is the Cowboys are expected to receive a huge trade package in exchange.
So let me offer you a guess. My guess, the closest comp for this would be Khalil Mack getting dealt in his prime.
Yes.
Maybe two firsts, a second, a fourth. I'd be surprised if it was three first-rounders, but guess what? I would do it because now, oh my God, wait for this. Why can't you just be happy with Rashawn Gary, bitches? Well, now they just added a guy opposite him. Kind of like what we wanted to do.
We can't even get
Zedarius. Oh, is it like this in other markets? Yeah, apparently it is.
Wow. Micah tweets out, thank you, Dallas. Go, Pack, go.
Listen, he's a nuclear warhead. He's a difference maker. He's the closest thing I've seen to a Lawrence Taylor type player. That pure stand-up edge. He's built different, man. He's had at least 12 and a half sacks each of his 4 years in the league. It's just not a guy you want in your division. A guy you want to deal with.
I didn't think that this was going to happen. I thought in the end they're going to kiss and make up, and he's going to be there going up against the Eagles. And
no.
Division just got a lot tougher.
Well, maybe it did or maybe it didn't. Now, Lion fans, what's your reaction? Look, we started the day talking about Brad Holmes' press conference. We started the day talking about, them saying, no, the extra roster spot, that's not for a pass rusher. That's just for us to do what we want with this. I'm paraphrasing.
Right.
And Brad said, no, we're not in active conversations with Zadarius Smith. And then when he was asked about the Super Bowl, he was very noncommittal. And it upset a lot of people. Not me. David was upset. Lions fans were upset. Okay. Well, on the heels of that, the Green Bay Packers have just made the most seismic move in the NFL offseason. And it is the one thing that team was missing. Because Rashawn Gary's a very good player. They just didn't have anybody opposite him. Mm-hmm. And instead of Lucas Van Ness, basically their version of Marcus Davenport, they're adding Lawrence Taylor. I mean, they're adding a gold jacket first ballot Hall of Famer. A warhead, a guy that can line up on either side or over the A-gap, and he's him. Micah Parsons is a freak. So, okay, did the division get tougher, or are we just going to kind of, laugh at this one and move along? I think this absolutely catapults the Pack into being the favorite in the division, period.
Division got tougher, especially.
He's that kind of player.
Game one. Brand new interior line. Yeah, this could be problematic. Now, down the line, when you play the second time, I think, Thanksgiving? Maybe it's a little bit better. Thanksgiving. But, yes, game one just got a lot tougher.
I mean, what did the Pack give up? I don't want to make – look, I don't care. I think ultimately, I don't care. That's my answer.
It reaches that point because, if you'd have told me that, the Lions signed him, well, I really don't care who you gave up because it's probably draft picks. Probably a lot of draft picks.
So Ian Rappaport has updated his tweet, and he says, yes, $47 million and nets two first-rounders for Dallas. So that's
steal.
What he puts on there so far.
It's a steal. And again, if you said to me I could have made the same trade, but when Burns is up or when J-Mo's up, they both got to go, I wouldn't care.
Because here's the thing. Green Bay is banking on the fact we're going to be a winning team now. And Dallas, congratulations. You can have our pick 28, 29, 30, or whatever.
Yeah.
And
again.
We don't plan on being in the top 10.
Green Bay, whether you have the cap space now or not, it's about next year. I mean, Green Bay's middle of the pack. I think they're 17th or 18th in cap space for 2026. Forgive me if I'm off by one or two. The Lions are not. Could you create the room to have done it? Sure. You chose not to. And that's okay. I am not going to sit here and scream and yell. What I'm saying is, He ended up in the one place you didn't want him.
Right.
Because now you're going to deal with him twice a year, every year.
Would this be the equivalent of when in the 90s when they got Reggie White?
Yes. Yeah, 100%. I just 100%. And I think now you're getting a player with a chip on his shoulder, and I think you're getting a guy that's going to prove a point. And he got his respect, and he got his money, and he's going to play in an organization that their standard is the standard, and it's been a while since they've hit it. But Green Bay is sitting there going, the Lions are good, and so are we. How do we get better? Let's go out and get a Hall of Famer.
See, and this it's what the Eagles did last year.
Oh, it's what any real team does.
You know what?
And I'm not yelling at you. Why am I being aggressive?
Okay.
I'm
no,
so
no,
sorry.
No, because we're all kind of...
I turned to Rico and scolded him like, eat your peas.
Because we're all shocked and we're all a little upset and we're all thinking, well, why couldn't we just do this here? Especially off the heels of the press conference of, stuff. Because, yeah, it reminds me of the Eagles. You know what? You can't trade within the division. Watch this. We want Saquon. All right, let's work something out. Like, they're constantly trying to get better. And I think Lions fans, maybe you now understand what Mike and I have been trying to say all summer long. You just don't stand pat and say, we like our guys. You can love your guys. But that doesn't mean you still can't improve with your guys and bring in somebody else.
And look.
And get aggressive because trades happen in the NFL.
Will this cost Green Bay players in the future? Yes. You're paying an edge $47 million. Was it really going to be realistic to do this for the Lions? No. And I understand that. Realistic doesn't mean impossible. My point to you all summer was do something. Well, you've done nothing. And now I got to be honest with you. It's Aiden Hutchinson's going to cost you $50 million a year. There's no scenario if I represent Aiden Hutchinson as an agent that I'm even having a conversation that doesn't start with a five. Oh, okay. Well, here's the deal. Four at 200 with 175 fully guaranteed. There's my offer. Well, that's not our offer. Well, then too bad. So, look, I'd like to know what your review is right now, Lion fan. As we sit here today, do you feel like now the division got tougher? Or do you still want to live in a world where you're going to go 14-3 and disco your way to just cake?
And you know what? Look, this is me. I said for years, I've wanted defensive linemen. I want them to draft them.
You don't understand the salary cap. Go sit in the corner.
Maybe not re-sign a safety and wait because you have so many disgruntled defensive edge rushers to see if you got some extra money to manipulate to bring them in to maybe move that safety in a trade to do instead of just locking him up. That's just me because now, yeah. Green Bay.
I mean, Green Bay is going to have $100 million in three linemen. Kenny Clark, Rashawn Gary, and now Micah Parsons. I'm just looking at their cap table right now. And if you factor in Xavier McKinney, you factor in Nate Hobbs. But, well, hell, you could throw Devontae Wyatt in there, too, who's making $13 million. Look, they've made an investment up front. How do you win games in the NFL? Up front. So, you know, look, if you want to say, well, listen, it's different paying Rashawn Gary $30 a year and Aiden's going to cost more. The point I'm making to you is they're going to spend $80 million on their edges. All right? You get to a certain point, 80, 90, what the hell's the difference? They've made a decision. This is where their money's going to go. Don't tell me it's impossible. And by the way, it's a shame this happened now. I almost wish it happened this morning. So Brad could tell us no team has two, even though that's just not honest. So here we are. I mean, yes, I really think it's sickening he's in Green Bay. It is. It's the one place you couldn't want him. Mm-hmm. Philly didn't have the chops. Why? They're at the end of a five-year run of saying F the cap. But the Packers are going for it. Mm-hmm. And I mean, what am I going to do? Make fun of them? I can't.
With still enough young players on offense that... they don't have to worry about paying those guys.
You could have 100 first-round picks and never find a Micah Parsons. Oh. That's just reality. Yeah. So I'd like to know where you guys are at with it. I mean, what's your reaction? Micah Parsons is a Green Bay Packer. And if it's two first-round picks, that's a steal. It just is. And if you're going to call in and say, well, we can't do things like that because we'd lose X, my answer is I don't care. I'm not going to yell about it. I'm not mad. I'm making a point. All offseason, I get mocked and made fun of like I'm some terrible guy. And then watch what happens. A team in your division does exactly what I've wanted. So tell me it's impossible again. Oh, next year's cap. F next year's cap. Restructure, kick money down the line, get creative. You got creative with Kirby Joseph's deal, a deal that Rico and I had no need to get done. You could assign him to a transition tag, let him shop his own deal next year, and you get first right of refusal.
Yeah.
You know, again, Kirby Joseph had a great year. You know what he didn't have the previous two? A great year. Outside the top 30 in coverage grade. I didn't have to run to that altar. You did. And you're already future-proofing. Here's the deal. You put three third-round picks into Tesla, which means, in my world, J-Mo's already gone. So who cares? And I'm going to pick between one of Brian Branch and Kirby Joseph. Not both.
Yeah. And I mean, if you're really going to go F those picks and give them away for Tesla, give away the two first-round picks and bring him here.
Yeah. But again, if you tell me it wasn't in the best interest of the Lions to do this, I'm not mad at you. I want you to just please stop being mad at me. Because now irony is a bitch. Because now this guy's here. And if you're going to do the poo-poo platter, you can call a different day part. If you want to minimize Micah Parsons, please just let's just agree to disagree. No, people will. Can we just agree to disagree and remain friends? I don't want to do this.
You so want to hear about irony? Irony is what Adam Schefter put out there. I'm so sorry, David.
What's happening?
I have the complete trade. I will give it to you when we come back.
Oh, man.
1 week away from the NFL season. It's time to lock it in. Fact or Fiction, Lions edition.
Season's a week away, man.
Yep.
Next week, Eagles, Cowboys, a little bit of a kind of eh to that, but... anyways, at least it's NFL football.
Well, yeah, will Parsons be there?
Yeah, will Micah Parsons get off the training table?
Literally.
He won't play in that game. All right, let's go. Jared Goff will lead the NFC in passing yardage again.
Yes. And I don't necessarily know that he has as many yards as he has last year with 4,600 yards. I think there's a chance it could actually be more. But Baker, he was number two last year in all of the NFL. And then you look and say, okay, well, Baker was number three. I think Baker, in his numbers, takes a little bit of a step back. Geno Smith, who was in the top 10, no longer a factor in the NFC. You got to go all the way down to Brock Purdy, who I think was 10, because Sam Darnold, also in the top 10, no longer an issue in the NFC. So I think he does lead the NFC in passing yards again. And Tesla is a part of that equation. Jahmyr Gibbs being a receiver. Using him to catch the ball more is a part of that equation.
I'll go fiction. I want the field, but that's kind of a cop-out, so I'll give you a name. Dak Prescott. I think they're going to be trailing. They do not have a run game. They added George Pickens. Dak leads the NFC.
It's possible. Yep.
Aiden Hutchinson will have 17 sacks or more, so that's one per game.
Fact. He's going to do it. Aiden Hutchinson, a fact, will have 18-plus sacks and win Defensive Player of the Year.
A fact as well. I think he is going to come back with a vengeance. He was really finding a rhythm last year, and I know everybody says, well, he was a backup tackle. I don't care who the tackles are or how many times he gets double-teamed. He is coming back with a vengeance and will be dominant this year. So it's 18 or more.
Defensive Player of the Year?
Yes.
That's what I said.
All right.
Number zero.
Did he stutter?
He got the second best odds, by the way, behind only Micah Parsons, who, if you missed it, hasn't exactly been ramping up.
Number zero last year, Terrion Arnold had zero interceptions. This year, Terrion Arnold will have three interceptions or more.
I'm going to say fiction. I think he is going to be a much better player, and he'll have more passes defended. He'll be I'm not going to call him a shutdown corner. I just don't think – I mean, interceptions are really hard to come by. I don't think he has a couple, but I don't think he has three or more.
What he said, fiction.
Wow.
Interceptions are hard to come by. I think he'll have more than zero, but I'm not predicting like some big interception season.
Right.
He's the number two corner.
And they have above average playmakers at safety,
yeah.
Which kind of takes away opportunity. I think, look, I was bothered by the zero last year, but then they also had the interception leader on their team. You only get so many chances to make an interception.
Right. Right. And the way the defense is set up, it's man coverage. Typically guys in zone are sitting there. Safeties, yeah. They can make the play on the ball.
And the other, but the one thing that I could say yes to is that Calvin Shepard has emphasized, and we've heard this throughout all of training camp, get that ball out. Turnovers is all a big part of what their point of emphasis defensively. But I still think, like what Jim said, man coverage, that's really tough to do.
Jahmyr Gibbs will have 2,000 yards combined rushing and receiving.
Last year he had 1,929. It's close. I'm going to say fiction because I don't expect Montgomery to miss time, and I think they will manage the workload to get through 20-plus games.
I'm going to say fact because he was so close last year. I think the numbers for rushing stay the same. They may actually go up a little bit. He might be a 1,500-yard back because, yeah, Montgomery is there, but over the course of the season, it's still going to be a 1-2 punch, but it's going to be more in favor of Jahmyr Gibbs this year, and they're going to use him more to catch the ball. So 517 yards last year receiving goes up.
I'm fascinated by this because I feel like Jahmyr Gibbs has the potential to have an LaDainian Tomlinson / Sean Alexander / Priest Holmes type year in his career.
Yes.
And does that bust through this year? And if it is busting through, do you hold that back? Like what you said, workload. It's going to be very fascinating.
They're playing
to watch
for the Super Bowl, not for individual accolades.
They going to play in the Super Bowl? All right, we'll get to that in a little bit. Isaac Tesla will have more touchdowns than Jameson Williams.
I'm going to say fiction. And the reason I say fiction is he's going to be the number three receiver. He'll be the number four or five target. He's going to be a huge addition to this offense. But J-Mo, obviously, he can have the game-breaking touchdowns. He can be a 50-50 ball guy as well. You can use him in the red zone. But they also hand him the ball on some reverse. We've seen some big-time plays on reverses. Don't be surprised to see him line up in the backfield at some point. That's something I'm looking for with John Morton and with...
Fullback?
No, not a fullback. Come on, don't be a dork. Yeah, but I do think we see him get the ball in his hands a lot more. A breakout season, as John Morton has said.
Tesla will have more. The frame, 6'4", built for the red zone. J-Mo doesn't get a ton of red zone targets. And between Laporta and St. Brown in the red zone, I just think Tesla's skill set suits him more for red zone.
It seems like it's going to be a pick your poison with Tesla or Laporta in the red zone TDs. All right, Jack Campbell will make the Pro Bowl.
Fact. It could be a big year for him. They're banking on a big year. Green dot, he's already had some progress from his first couple seasons. I think it's going to be a big year for him.
Yep. He's going to be on the field almost exclusively. And I think he has another step forward. He's taken a step forward every single year. I would look for him to be in the top two or three in total tackles. And look for him. You talk about interceptions. A guy that, you know, numbers could go up in that regard is Jack Campbell.
Kirby Joseph will lead the NFL in interceptions again.
Fiction. And not because I think Kirby Joseph takes a step back. I know everybody wants to say, oh, the Lions take a step. No, that's not it at all. It's some of those were tips and overthrows. And, you know, right place, right time. And he's good players are in the right place at the right time. I think he still has six or seven, but to think that he has the nine that he had last year, I don't think so.
Exactly. I don't expect him to lead the league again. It's a tall task. Fiction.
The Lions will lose to the Ravens, Chiefs, and Bengals.
Fiction. I think they will lose to the Ravens. They may lose to the Chiefs, although no, Rashee Rice is a vote of confidence, and I think they'll beat the Bengals.
Same. I think there's
Chase
a chance.
Brown, by the way. The Bengals.
I Chase Brown kids.
That's a great one. Ravens. I'm not going to sit there and say that they lose all of them. No, I don't think they do. Jared Goff has never lost to Patrick Mahomes. I mean, let's not forget that. And I know there's a lot more that goes into it. It's just a fun little stat. But the Bengals, I do think that they beat the Bengals. It's going to be a track meet, but I think they beat the Bengals.
The Lions will not lose a game in the division.
I think this is fiction. It's six games. I don't know if it's Green Bay or if it's Minnesota that they lose one of them to. But to sit here and think, I mean, it's kind of just playing the odds, right? It's 5-1 in the division. I think everybody starting the season would say that's a great division record. I don't think they sweep the division, though.
Yeah, I would say they're going to win 5+, but I'll play it
five
safe
plus.
Here.
You're son.
That's six, then.
No, five or more. Greg, well, gets what I'm saying.
Okay,
my bet
then
is they're not losing multiple games, but I think they'll lose one. Let me get a couple words out, dude.
I think the road game set up very favorably in the division, meaning that you open at Green Bay, teams are going to be ready to go. They're healthy.
Yep.
They've had success there. Let's set the tone. You got Minnesota on Christmas. I actually think it's worse to play at home on Christmas.
And
you close with Chicago, and by then that's going to be a dumpster fire with Bent Johnson and Caleb Williams. Mobile quarterbacks will be the Lions' Achilles heel.
I'm going to say, okay, fact, because it's a factor for every team. It's not just the Achilles heel for the Lions. It's the Achilles heel for almost every defense. The only one that we saw that could, I think, handle it is the Philly defense. And, you know, when you say it's the Lions' Achilles heel, you could also say it's
mythological hero Achilles.
I thought about that when I wrote this.
I love that one.
I will say, fact, it is one of their two Achilles heels. The other one would be the interior of the offensive line. But if you're starting Marcus Davenport, putting a lot of faith in him, that's going to be Achilles heel.
The Lions will win the Super Bowl.
Fiction. Because of the two Achilles heels.
Well, there's an Achilles heel for every team. Some are a little bit more visible at this time of the year than others. They'll develop them throughout the course of the season. But I'm going to play the odds and say it's fiction. It's the odds that the Lions never have even been there. And I do think we went through our picks last week. I think they get there. I just don't think that they win it.
You had the Ravens. I had the Bills.
Everybody's confidence has been shaken, I think, a little bit. Justifiably so. I mean, I think the Ragnow thing changed a lot of things for a lot of people.
Yep. There you have it. That's fact or fiction. 97.1.
Doug Harsh, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. All right. So, you know, I've often joked that I'm a Brad bot, but I don't, you know, I'm not. Everything he does doesn't get a stamp of approval, but I've also kind of thought, but we'll wait and see. And there's, yeah, just about. It's usually he does smart things. And, you know, there's clearly a path laid out for them to keep their best players, which feels like a lot of money is spoken for. And if you make a move like this, it doesn't come without losing guys. And they might not be able to keep everybody. They might have to unload guys themselves before their contracts are up to try and recoup some draft capital, which in Brad Holmes' hands, quite frankly, is dangerous. I will be upset if he wasn't aware that Micah was really available and didn't have any conversations with Dallas. I really hope he talked to Dallas. I will be disappointed if he didn't at least get a price tag. What I'd like to hear, and we won't, is that Detroit made an offer and Green Bay topped it. I'd like to hear that. If he didn't do anything about this,
to at least push the price up higher for the Packers to land.
I mean, at the very minimal, but also see, I mean, you always call Jerry. You always call Jerry Jones because you just never know what he's going to do. By all accounts, this thing got personal.
It got real personal, apparently.
What was the thing you just read to me off the air? Where did you get that from?
This was, let me see if I can pull it back up.
Sorry, I should have told you to keep that and use it on the air. That's on me.
It was, I'm sorry.
We'll do it later.
I have it here. It comes from Don Van Natta, who is a writer with ESPN.
Okay.
It says, Jerry Jones bought the Cowboys by shaking hands with Bum Bright. Micah Parsons committed to a contract extension with Jerry on a handshake. When Parsons reneged, Jerry decided Parsons would never again wear the star on his helmet. If Jerry can't trust you, you're done. So part of me really admires Jerry Jones for having that kind of, look, your word is bond. We're shaking hands on it. It's a done deal. That's old school, and I recognize that's not how things are done now. Mm-hmm. But I like when things are done like that, when somebody lives up to their word. The problem is Micah Parsons then got his agent involved, and the agent's like, oh, no, I can get you a better deal than that, and says, we're not taking that deal. And then it's like, whoa, all bets are off now. And now you're dealing with an owner that looks like he's being stubborn, and he's holding true to his principles. Like I said,
do you have respect for that?
I have. There's a certain amount of respect I have for that with Jerry Jones. I don't like that somebody agreed to a deal and then backs out of a deal. That's not kosher with me.
Well, that was the Adam Schefter report last week that they had. Micah said, I'll take this. Jerry said, okay, matched it. And then Micah said, or it sounds like the agent said, no, we want more. And that's a no-no. And that gets people upset. And if it was personal, it was personal. And Jerry pulled the plug. And next thing you know, Micah Parsons is a Packer. But I really hope the Lions at least kick the tires. And if they didn't, I'll be disappointed. It's not the end of the world. It's clear that Brad has a plan, and we'll talk about that as the show goes on. It is Carson Anderson, 248-539-9797. Let's go to Joe next here on 97.1. Hi, Joe.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're good, Joe.
So, Jerry, sly as a fox, the way I'm looking at it, he likes the shiniest thing in the room, so he's hoarding number one picks. He's going to try and get Arch Manning in a year or two.
Yeah, probably. I would imagine that that is something that he is angling for and can see a future and would love the idea of bringing a Texas kid in, a kid from the University of Texas.
Well, don't they already have Dak signed for a long, long, long time at a ridiculous amount of money?
Maybe, but I think
kick him down the curb, I think.
Is there outs in Dak's contract? I'd have to go through the specifics of his contract. Yes, they do have him signed for a long time. But guys get old fast. He's 32, man. He's 32, and there's an out after next season.
Well
maybe not. I'm sorry. Well, out in two more seasons after this one.
Well, two first-round picks each year is one. I don't know if they're going to have enough to get done unless the Cowboys actually suck and they just get the pick on their own, which that won't happen. The Cowboys are already, they're a decent football team.
248-539-9797. James in Auburn Hills. What's up, James?
Hi. I think what people are annoyed over here about is not so much to do with Micah Parsons. I think it's more the fact that Brad Holmes is just ignoring the opposite edge of Aiden. I mean, Bob Muhammad over here and Marcus Davenport, you'll be lucky if between the two of them there's a starting
all
NFL
James,
lineman.
Who did you want them to go get?
Well, there's Darius Smith. There's a whole offseason. They also could trade for people. And I'm not a GM, but this is not an alternative.
I got to tell you, because it's a cap world, there are times and places where you have to take a calculated risk. They are taking a calculated risk at the edge spot opposite of Aiden Hutchinson, and that person is Marcus Davenport. And
that's not calculated. Relying on Marcus Davenport, I mean, can I ask you a serious question? If they gave you a bet, someone offered you to bet $1,000 if he's going to play more than 7 games this year, would you take that bet? No. That's crazy. This guy hasn't played forever. I mean, relying on Marcus Davenport is just irresponsible. That's not calculated.
Well, I mean, I guess, James, just keep in mind, they had one hell of a defense last year without Marcus Davenport and a healthy Hutch, and then Hutch got hurt.
So, James, if they go out and
I'm not saying that, but the question is, can they be better? The question is, and they have cap space.
Well,
there's zero reason not to improve the roster. There's no reason to leave that spot open. And when the Packers go get Micah Parsons and we're stuck
there is potential reasons. The cap space is probably spoken for in many ways. One, and if you add a player like Micah Parsons, you have to add a huge, huge salary because he wanted that new contract.
No, I don't want Micah.
Hold on, James. Two is they have flexibility to do something at the trade deadline.
Well,
they're going to be one of the teams that can be a huge buyer at the trade deadline. They're going to need things to fall their way to be a huge buyer. Last year, they had some flexibility, and he said the players that they wanted weren't available. I am really interested in Trey Hendrickson in Cincinnati, who's clearly in his last year in Cincy. And if they get off to a bad spot, the team that's ready to pounce is Detroit. But you know, I mean, I think that they like Elquidi Muhammad. Sorry, they do. They obviously like him more than you do, and they like Marcus Davenport.
So it was 2 years.
I'd probably take that bet, by the way. I probably would.
7 seems a little light. I would probably take it. But if you could say like 10, then I'm like, I don't know about 10, but 7, okay. 2 years ago, they didn't do anything. Last year, they did. Last year, they got Za'Darius Smith.
Yeah, they didn't do the massive move. But
no, and I think the caller, I think James was saying, he's like, he wants, go get Za'Darius Smith.
They don't want him. I think it's pretty clear they don't want him.
They may not, and I'd love to know the reason why they don't want him. If they don't want him, I don't think it can't be money. And you know, Trey Hendrickson isn't the only player that you're going to be keeping an eye on when you get to the trade deadline. It's just that's the most obvious one. If Cincinnati's in the tank, that they're going to trade him. So to have some flexibility, I understand that. But to start the season, I mean, we're 8 days away from the NFL, or 9 days away from the NFL starting, and Za'Darius Smith is still out there, and there's still other players that are out there. I understand why fans want something to happen.
Yeah, and there's if they need it. The other thing we got to keep in mind is edge rusher might not be their need. It might not be their need. Their defense, as constructed, without Marcus Davenport and without Za'Darius Smith at the beginning of last year, were they creating a pass rush?
Well, yeah, because they had a one-man wrecking crew, yeah.
Were they pretty good defensively without Marcus Davenport and Za'Darius Smith last year?
Yeah, to start the season they were,
yep.
And then everything happened.
And then Hutch got hurt, and then everybody else got hurt.
But this
they're counting on a healthy defense this year being way better than last year.
Well, but they're counting on the second half of the season.
Hold on. And then the other thing is, sorry. The other thing is, if edge rusher isn't the need, interior offensive line might be. So I think they're taking this team out for a test drive to see whether or not they actually need to add a veteran guard or tackle or guard or center. I think that might be part of the calculus here too.
It's possible because the long-term plan is to, it seems like having Ratledge slide over to center at some point, but they did draft Miles Frazier, who I think they like a lot, who's hurt and didn't get a chance to go through training camp, but you know that's somebody to look at for next year. But the defense last year, which was so good to start the season last year, those guys aren't here right now. Not all of them. Hutch is, which is great. But you're missing Aleem McNeil.
That's true.
That's a big one to miss. You're missing Levi Onwuzurike. You're missing Pascal at this point. You're missing Malcolm Rodriguez. You're missing some parts. Not that the Malcolm Rodriguez is a major part of this team's defense, but he was definitely a part. And you're getting other guys back. Hutch looks like he's in great shape, ready to go. Barnes, I think he's ready to go.
They started last year without DJ Reader, and he was hurt, and he came back. So it's kind of a lean for DJ. I can see why they have confidence in this defense being way better. But, you know, again, they have flexibility to make another move if necessary. 248-539-9797. And given the concerns about the interior of the offensive line, let's be clear here. They might need a guard or center. They might. Hope not, but they might. Let's go to Scott next on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Gator. Hi, Doug.
What's up?
Hey, Scott.
It's been a while since I talked to you guys. Last time I talked to you was after the NFC title game, and I still want a live lion on the sideline in the playoffs this season. But I've been looking at the two teams, Packers and the Lions, and I know now the Packers are the favorite, and the Packers did get better. There's obviously nobody in their right mind would argue they didn't. But I was looking, if you take Hutchinson off the Lions and you take Parsons off Packers, who has a better roster? Who has the better team? Hell, who has the better coach? I still would take our roster and our players over Green Bay. And I think when you add Hutchinson and you add Parsons, those edge players are pretty comparable. I mean, if you're, you know, what's Parsons, a 95 and Hutch is a 92, a 93? I mean, there's no big gap between those guys. The big gap is with everybody else on the field. And I think sometimes, and some of the fans that we might forget, we beat Green Bay twice last year without Hutch. Granted, they didn't have Parsons, but we beat them twice last year without Hutch. I still like our chances. I still think we've got the better roster. We've got the better players.
Thank you for the phone call, Scott. So there's something else going on here as far as Holmes' commitment to his plan, and I want to talk about it at 11:02. It's Carson Anderson, open lines. Micah Parsons is in Green Bay. Are the Lions cooked, in your opinion? Would you rather be Detroit or Green Bay right now? It's Carson Anderson, 97.1.
Have no fear. We will get to college football kickoff a little later. Just wanted to kind of put a bow on the Parsons talk. The PSA is the PSA. We'll get to the ticket text. But Rico, you just said something. Bring it back, because I hinted at this yesterday, and we can have some fun. Say what you just said to me the way you said it, minus the ethnic slur.
It does make you wonder if Brad Holmes knew this was going down yesterday, which is why he kind of appeared to be a little salty at the press conference, and he was just kind of very lethargic because he knew this is going to go down, and all you guys are going to blame me that I didn't go out and get Micah Parsons. He knew. Yeah, I wonder, because it was a weird press conference. Like, he really didn't want to be there was the feel that I got.
I'll allow it.
And it's interesting you say that, because Aiden Hutchinson was on Kay Adams' show yesterday morning. I listened to it yesterday morning, and then she asked him before they ended the question about Parsons. And she herself says in there, well, he's going to the NFC North. It's like, what? How do you know this? So you could be, your theory could be correct.
I'm buying. Kenny, you buying?
I am buying because I feel like also a lot of GMs in all sports, GMs is kind of a boys club.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody knows something and told somebody something. It wouldn't surprise me in the least bit if Brad Holmes knew that.
And he got up there all foul. Oh, damn. They're going to ask me a bunch about the pass rush and the Packers are going to do this. I, you know what? I want to live in that world. Yes, I'm buying. That's some Miss Cleo stuff by you.
It's just one of those. You kind of wonder. He knew, man, I'm about to get roasted because I didn't make this move. And they're going to say, well, you know what? Green Bay now has two edge rushers, Mr. Funny Man.
I really think everybody would be aligned if they would have brought Za'Darius back or Clowney or just a veteran insurance policy for Davenport. Look, I'll give credit when it's due, and it doesn't happen often, but I do want to give it in this case with John. John said it best. You cannot count on responsibly Marcus Davenport, 50 snaps a game for 17 weeks. No. That's John Jansen saying that. And John loves the Lions. And John does not like being negative. He's right, and I do wonder if, like, then what is the problem? So great, you're sitting on 42 mil of cap space that you're not going to use and then roll it over into next year, which is all well and good. Za'Darius or Clowney or anyone of that ilk, they don't move the needle cap-wise. And you're probably not signing them to a multi-year deal. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if that's all fans would need to go, okay, yeah, Parsons is over there. We stocked up over here. Let's go to war. But instead, you're right. It was weird press conference, defensive GM, into Parsons trade, and then people went to war. Because the first wave of callers was, you guys are overreacting. And I go, oh, no, we're not doing this today. If my neighbor gets a nice car, I'm allowed to say it's a nice car. Don't tell me I'm overreacting. Mm-hmm. It's a nice car. And then the next wave was like, no, we're going to be angry on your behalf because now we're mad at our fellow fan. It was a cluster bleep yesterday.
It was.
So, David, what are the early returns on Ticketek before I get to the people?
I assure you the reaction the Lions fans the day after will be even more delusional. They're huffing that copium, someone said.
Still?
Still, yep.
So you can't, so it's an overreaction, sky is falling take to say that the Packers are staring you eye to eye, and we got a war to fight now. Like, this division got tougher. That's considered overreaction.
Well, I'll give you some of it here. If anything, this makes the division matchups a prep for the playoffs. So iron sharpens iron. I'm not worried about us losing the division. Green Bay got better. We're still going to win the division, though. It's just going to make it more fun. Lions.
I'm okay with that. Mm-hmm. I'm okay with everything you just read. Lions fans have earned a right to be confident, not delusional. That's confidence. You could say they're still going to win the division. And look, in Vegas, you're the co-favorite. It's Green Bay and you. I have no issue if you call up saying you still think you're going to win it. I have an issue if I hear more of the garbage I got yesterday about how the Pack aren't better, how it's a walkover, how Parsons is this, that, and the other thing. And it's like, okay, why don't we do it this way? He's a top five defensive player in the sport. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. And as angry as you guys want to get at Dave Burkett, the Pack said, look, we've won 11 games. We've won playoff games. We're trying to win a Super Bowl. Yeah. Oh, Micah Parsons is available? F it. Go get him.
Well, it's funny, too, because I'll give John credit for this. I heard him this morning because somebody called their show and said, well, you know, he's a malcontent in the locker room. Look at him. He was laying on a massage table. And John's like, guys, he was playing the game. He's not going to get fined if he's there. Now, you don't have to participate, but you got to be in the building. So he had an quote-unquote back injury that you really couldn't prove, but he's like, guys, really, seriously, he's not that type of player where he's going to disrupt this Lions locker room, because that wasn't something else. Like, they didn't want to disrupt the Lions locker room. Like, come on, that's Micah Parsons. You take him. There's just certain people that, you know what?
I know.
As much as I like, and you like Amon-Ra, if all of a sudden Justin Jefferson said he wanted to be a Lion, you take him, and you deal with whatever happens after.
Look, players like Micah Parsons are never supposed to hit the market. You're right. They're never supposed to be available. So when Green Bay goes and gets one, it's okay to just say, all right, I see what you're doing. and we're going to have to be that much better. But man alive, yesterday was a bizarre couple hours, including talking to Rieger and, you know, basically Dave getting put through the ringer for what? Writing a thought-provoking piece that exits propaganda and goes into free thought? Good gravy. All right, David, go ahead with the ticket text, and then we'll get these calls lined up. Kenny's been a very busy little bee here early.
Mike and Rico, the 49ers added McCaffrey, the Eagles added Barkley, the Rams added Stafford. My point is, good teams aren't afraid to go out and add a difference maker that may sting in the pocketbooks or the draft room. Just make the move.
I've done that show for several months, which is there's a kind of a way of doing business that has continually worked in the NFC for a decade. And you can trace it all the way back and look at the teams that have won the Super Bowl or minimum represented the NFC. Every one of them features multiple bold swings. Mm-hmm. It's an arms race. It's no different than college football.
And then there's swings that you miss, but you take the swing. So, yeah, like when the Niners went after Chase Young, didn't work out, but it helped get them to the Super Bowl.
Chase Young ended the Lions season.
Or did.
Argue it.
That fourth
he wasn't
play,
very good, right. But he was good in the right moment.
That
and
one
he ended
play,
it.
Yeah, that one play, he chased Goff out the pocket. Goff had nowhere to go. So you could say it was worth that one play.
I hope it's a sarcasm from BW in St. Clair Shores. I don't know why everyone keeps saying the Packers are better. It doesn't do any good to have a good pass rusher when all the quarterback has to do is hand the ball off to his running back. Parsons made the same as us in the edge rusher department. I hope that's sarcasm.
You're comping Micah Parsons and Rashawn Gary to Aiden Hutchinson and Marcus Davenport. Okay. You know what? BW is a good person, and I'm going to say it's sarcasm. Or someone took BW's phone. I don't know who BW is. I'm making things up at this point.
Someone says, as soon as they announced Parsons went to the Green Bay Packers, you should have done the drop of Mike throwing the chair.
No.
It would have been perfect for me.
It's just something I felt a couple weeks ago, and I talked about it, and I said, I'm telling you, first of all, I've been the guy saying he's getting traded from Dallas for a year. So let's just start there. I get a lot of things wrong. I got this one right. But the Green Bay thing, I just said, look, there's one team that's got the need, the capital, and probably the motivation to do it. And we did that show 2 weeks ago, and I said, I'm telling you, you better hope he doesn't end up there. And he did. So bottom line, what am I going to do? Not say they got better? That's ridiculous to say they didn't get better. And also, too, I heard this last night driving home. Like, it just shows you, like, people don't watch football. Oh, well, Penei Sewell will take him out of the game. Really? How's he going to do that when he's lined up over Glasgow's skull? Or he's lined up over Decker? Or he's lined up over Sewell, but he loops around and stunts? But guys, the guy's a warhead. He's not this static pass rusher. All right, it's not Michael Strahan. This guy's different. No, you don't just take him out of the game. You try to identify him pre-snap and pray to God he's still there when the ball gets snapped. 31% of the time, he gets to the quarterback within 2.5 seconds. There's no one else in the league like him. And you can still beat this team, but it just got more challenging. He is different. Who's a better pure pass rusher than this guy in football? Who?
No, probably the only one you could say is Myles Garrett.
Well, he's got a better win rate than Myles Garrett.
And he's younger than Myles Garrett. So you know what? The Packers have set themselves up now. What they're going to be in a little bit of cap purgatory, but they'll figure it out. Why? Because the cap goes up and the money ain't real.
You can just hit the bell if you want over there. All right, we're going to get to the people next. We wanted to set the table. Thank you very much. Childs, first touchdown. 97-1.